Father, we just come to you this evening and we declare you King. And we say, Father, speak to us. We just glorify you this evening. And we just ask that you would partake some of your love. Just introduce us to something new, something special. Thank you, Father. All right. One light year. Okay, one light year has absolutely nothing to do with atonement. Okay, just in case you were wondering. The cause of atonement is basically God's love and the justice that God deserves. Can you hear me? No volume. So I need to speak up. Is that what you're saying? The cause of atonement. Okay, it's basically God's love and the justice that God demands. Okay. In 2 Peter 2:4. We read that God didn't even spare the angels when they sinned. A definition of atonement. Okay. Atonement. Amends. It's to make amends or reparation made for an injury or a wrong. Theological definition is the reconciliation of man with God through the life, sufferings, and the sacrificial death of Jesus. Absolute reconciliation or an agreement. Wayne Grudem gives a definition of atonement as it is the work Christ did in his life and the death and his death to earn our salvation. Now the question is, was atonement a necessity? To make amends for us, to communicate with God? We deserve to die. We deserve the penalty of sin. We deserve to bear God's wrath against sin. And we're separated from God because of our sin. We're in bondage to sin and the kingdom of Satan. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short the glory of God. We're separated from God and the communication that we had with God has been broken. Where Adam walked in the garden with God, that relationship is spoilt and broken. It's gone. And just in case you've forgotten, the ruler. Okay, it's really important that you keep this in mind. Grudem asks, was there any other way that God could save human beings other than sending his son to die in our place? And he goes on to say, before you answer this question, it is important to realize that it was not necessary for God to save people. Okay? It's not a necessity. Because God didn't even spare the angels. So atonement is not a necessity, but merciful love. Okay. Just keep that slide in mind. Matthew 26:36. He went a little further, fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And in Hebrews 2:17, Paul writes and he says, "Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be merciful, and he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make," see if I can pronounce it correctly, propitiation. There we go. "For the sins of people." Now, definition, I don't know if anybody knows the word propitiation. That one. Nigel Day Lewis describes it as the appeasement of God's wrath. So we just get into the next slide. In Leviticus 16, it sets out the Day of Atonement that the Jews followed. Sorry? Are we gone back? Right. Okay, three things came out of this. One was a sacrifice of the bull as a sin offering. Next thing, what they would do is they would draw lots for two goats. One unlucky goat got slaughtered and got sacrificed, and the other one got chased out. And the idea was that the sins would be poured on that goat, hence the word scapegoat. Okay. So that's what Leviticus tells us. And in his mercy, God allowed the death of an animal to act as a sacrifice for humans. The shedding of the animal's blood, its lifeblood for human sin. So, how does this relate to Christ? The nature of our atonement, our sacrifice, Christ's blood was shed for us. We're marked with his sacrificial blood. The same way the lamb's blood was used to mark the Israelites' homes in Egypt when the angel of death passed over. Our scapegoat, our transgressions, our sin was put on Christ. And he died for it. And the pain that Christ endured on the cross our sacrifice Jesus was a perfect man, the incarnate Son of God. He had a lifelong record of perfect obedience. Now, I don't know about any of you, but for me, that's just a no-no. In absolute obedience to his Father. John 1:29, John refers to him, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." We receive redemption through Jesus Christ. We read that in Romans 3:24. Our sins are forgiven. Jesus said in Matthew 26:28, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sins." Come on. Oh, no. Sorry, I'm just fighting with my telephone. There we go. Our scapegoat. Paul writes in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Corinthians 2:5-21. Paul writes and he says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. And also in Romans 8:3, Paul writes and he says, for what law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. All right. So he had to be human in order to defeat sin. He had to be the perfect human. Right. In your notes, the next slide should be C. It's written as D. So apologies for that. The pain Christ endured. And this is summarized in the cross and the flogging. The cross was an excruciatingly painful death. An excruciatingly painful death. It was death by suffocation. So people would seesaw on the cross trying to get breath. But that's another whole thing. The abandonment. Christ was abandoned. Okay. His friends ran away from him. His disciples turned their back on him. And in Matthew 27:46, Jesus shouts out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God turns his back on him. So in that, he also had the pain of bearing all our sin. Grudem describes, what's the word? There we go. He describes it as a sacrifice that bears God's wrath to the end, and in so doing changes God's wrath towards us into favor. All right. So Christ on the cross also went through the pain of bearing the wrath of God. Let's not forget. Let's not forget that throughout this time, throughout the time on the cross, Jesus was still God incarnate. So him hanging there had the power to get off the cross.
That's right.
But he lovingly hung there and died. So surrendered his power and became the perfect sacrifice. All right. The provision of atonement. Sorry, I seem to have missed out a slide here, but we'll just leave that one up for the time being. The provision of atonement. Four things were provided for. Okay. The sacrifice. In Hebrews 9:26, Paul writes and he says, he then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put all sin by the sacrifice of himself. So once Christ died, and that was it. He paid the price. Second thing that the provision of atonement was the wrath of God. Okay. The settlement of that wrath. And in 1 John 4:10 reads that in this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and that he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Right. And through the atonement, we are reconciled. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19 says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God is in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Not imputing their transgressions to them, and has committed us the word, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So the whole price, the whole cost of the sin of man is paid for. That has been broken. It's been reconciled. 1 Colossians 13. Talks about the redemption. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. In Romans 6:11 and verse 14, those together, reads like this: likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, but you are not under law, but under grace. Now the psalmist writes in Psalm 8, verse 4, who is man that you are mindful of him? Now, do you remember that ruler that we had up in the beginning? Wrong one. That is the earth, believe it or not. And that is after 14 years of travel, of Voyager, stopped and took this. Okay. That's 14 billion miles away. Okay. Not a weekend trip. And the amazing thing is that God created with the spoken word, and he said, let there be light. So out of his mouth, the sun was formed. Okay? That gives you some idea of how big our God is and how small we are. just to put things into perspective. This is our home, the Milky Way. You remember the ruler in the beginning? Who knows how many miles it is? Did anyone take?
586,000.
Yeah, something trillion. It's a big figure. It's a big figure. Okay. Now the Milky Way is 100,000 light years in diameter. This is a photo that they took. And this is something like 20 million light years away. And with all these wonderful pictures, bear this in mind. That the God who spoke these things into creation, he came here. He was led like a lamb to slaughter. This great God, the creator of the universe, was abandoned. Shamed, mocked, beaten, humiliated, and nailed to a cross. Okay, for you. Now, the Whirlpool Galaxy, that's something like 32 million light years away, has this star. Now, who says God doesn't have a sense of humor? Thank you for listening.